All right, welcome. This is Squirrel Marketing Podcast. This is Bill Bronson, your marketing guru, and we've got the Coopster, Jeffrey Cooperstein, sports podcast legend in the house.
What's up?
All right, well, so happy Friday. This is Friday, March 12th, 2021. It's been a long week. It's been really busy, which is part of kind of what spurred me to want to talk about what we're going to talk about today. So what I wanted to talk about, well, first of all, is there anything you want to talk about?
What you want to talk about?
You're so accommodating. That's awesome.
I'm just here for the ride.
Well, hopefully it'll be fun. And we do have a non-political comment that I'm going to make about Bernie Sanders coming up. So, but what?
Just the way you said that. Not a non-political comment about a very political guy who has the exact opposite political views as I do.
Whatever. We're going to prove that Bernie Sanders made a comment that couldn't possibly be true.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay.
I'm excited. That's all right. Good teaser.
Well, yeah. So, okay. Well, so listen. So we've been really, 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 really busy. And we work for Empower Brokerage. It's an insurance FMO. And super, super hardworking group of people.
Oh, yeah.
And just a little plug for Empower Brokerage. Any insurance agents out there. Empower Brokerage really from the top down rolls their sleeves up and helps agents be successful and learn more. Basically, when I first came on board 7 years ago, I asked Rodney, well, what do you want to achieve? And this was after I told him there's a lot of stuff broken. So he's like, well, look around, talk to some people, tell me what you think about our operation, right? And this was before I was hired, and I was kind of looking at it, and they needed some help. And so I went in, and I was real.
1 second. Gosh.
You got the Rona? You got the Rona?
No, I have the vaccine, so I'm good. Okay, sorry. And action.
So I told him. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff I would change, and I was real nice about it. I wasn't, you know, just, you know, bash what I saw, but they had a lot of good stuff going on, and they just weren't capturing what they could capture. I didn't feel like they were as efficient as they could be. I didn't feel like they were promoting themselves as good as they could, and of course, you know, a marketing person would see that. And anyway, so I came on board, and we did this, and 7 years later, we are what I promised we would become, and that is the top teaching FMO in the country. Our whole existence with Empower Brokerage is to teach agents, yep. Which is pretty cool. And you know, and if I left tomorrow and I left this behind, and I left them with being the top teaching FMO in the country and all the things that I've built here, I would feel very accomplished. So I'm happy about what these guys have achieved, and Rodney's a stand-up guy, so you can't do any better with an FMO. So back to what we were talking about, we stay busy here, and it got me thinking. When you're busy, you get more busy. Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. When you're busy, tasks and, you know, things keep piling up and piling up, and then all of a sudden, you have nothing.
So, yeah. So, your state of being perpetuates itself. And I started thinking about my past and all the things I've gone through. And I remember being a handyman. I was always a business owner. I always started businesses. And, you know, one of my first ones was in high school when I wasn't even old enough to have an assumed name certificate or own a business. And so I partnered with a friend of mine who was, and we started a business of consignment auto sales for exotic automobiles so we could drive cool cars down the boulevard on the weekend
yeah.
and sell them and make money. And we did that. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And I remember a Porsche 935 Turbo that that Brad Wright owned. Brad Wright was a Channel 5 news anchor.
I remember the name.
Yeah. And then we had a convertible Caprice classic car. It was a beautiful blue with white leather interior. And that was pretty neat. We had a, we have a DeLorean and a Ferrari, and we had some cool cars, but, but when I was getting the handyman business started, I was out there passing out flyers. My wife, we walked door to door all through the neighborhood, passing out flyers. We talked to people. I'd take jobs that I didn't want. And I remember one time I took a job cleaning out gutters, and that's not really what I wanted to do. But I took the job cleaning out gutters, and it got me a job trimming the neighbor's tree. And then I got a phone call from my brother and said that this general who was a friend of the family needed help. And so I went out and totally gutted a sliding glass door and frame and redid that. And his niece needed something. And so before the month was out, I went from my wife and I passing out flyers and couldn't get business. And I mean, back then, our mortgage payment was like $300. And we were struggling, making like $1,200 a month. Okay. And every dollar counted. So we went from spending money we didn't really have on flyers and walking the neighborhood to more business than I could handle, and bought a trailer. I went to Lowe's and ran across some people door shopping, and I said, "Hey, do you have anybody to put that in?" "Not really." Well, it turns out they had a ranch in Weatherford, and it was half underground. It was like a half underground house where you mow the roof. And so I ended up putting their front door in, and it was a bear of a job. But that gave me more contacts. And so this is going to lead somewhere, trust me. So I was busy and got busier and busier. But when I was in the mortgage business later and lost my career in 2008 when the banking crash happened.
You and a lot of other people.
Right. Well, I spiraled down like crazy. I was super depressed, almost like I'd lost a family member. And all my hopes and dreams were down the tubes, basically. I did not call my 400-plus loan officers to figure out a game plan and be a leader like I should have. I was super depressed. I would wake up in the morning, and I've never told anybody this, I may curb what I'm going to say, but I would wake up in the morning, I would put my feet on the floor, I would sit on the edge of the bed and hang my head and stretch my neck, convincing myself that I was stretching, but I would just zone out and just be in this pit of despair for hours, so much so that I developed a neck problem from being stretching it so much, right? And this depression, it was like my wife, she let me have my time, but eventually she said, "It's thick in here. I mean, I walk in the house and it's thick and depressing."
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand you lost everything, but, you know, pull up your bootstraps. I got nothing to wear to your pity party. We've got to get busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that for over a month, 2 months maybe, I had zero opportunity. And that's kind of because of the economy and everything too. But just like the pandemic and Empower Brokerage business went up 15% during the pandemic, there were people that I saw back then in 2008, January, February, that were busier than ever. I wasn't. I couldn't get any business. I couldn't find anything to do to make money. And I was freaked out. But the thing that was different was that I was not in a good place anyway. But even if I was in a better place mentally, I didn't have any opportunity. I couldn't go anywhere and get a job that I would accept. This is another problem that, and my wife hit me on this one too, and that is I was waiting for a job that would give me what I needed to support my family. Now, that sounds like a common sense strategic thing that the breadwinner would do to make sure that they could support the family.
Mm-hmm.
You hold out for the job that's going to do what you need it to do to support the family, right? I don't think that's entirely true. Because the more I think about this whole situation in retrospect, the more I realize that your state of being perpetuates itself. And here's a story that will drive that home. So I remember during that time, I remember being offered some side work to clean gutters like I did a long time before then. And I turned it down because I was going out and putting my applications in places for general manager, for whatever. I was above cleaning gutters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an offer to mow this guy's, it was basically a freaking field. It was a lot that he owned next to his house. And I was going to mow the yard for him. And I was thinking about doing that. It wasn't going to pay a whole lot. And I had an opportunity to have an interview with a company to be a production manager at Miller Brewery. So I went on the interview instead of mowing this guy's yard. Okay, so then the same guy offered me another side job to do something. And I was a woodworker, and this wasn't a wood project, you know, necessarily. It was building a doghouse or something. And I just couldn't do it because I really needed to be focused 100% on getting that job that supports a family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy owned a business. Okay. And fast forward, I gave up a good opportunity because here's the deal. If I would have cleaned this guy's gutters, if I would have mowed that guy's yard, if I would have built that guy's doghouse, I would have got to know this man and got to know the fact that he owned a franchise of 3 locations and needed a freaking sales manager, of which I had all of the qualifications. So later on, I got to talking to him and we talked about this. And I said, you know, I didn't do those jobs because I was really holding out for a management job. And I really needed enough to support my family. And he said, and he told me about it. He's like, I would have hired you. And he said, and actually, don't hate me, but I knew the situation you were in, and I just wanted to see if you were willing to do whatever it took. And I wasn't. And that hurt me. I got tears in my eyes when I found out because every ounce of my being was directed at supporting my family, but I did not do what I could have done. And so, you know, when you hold out sometimes for opportunities that fit your vision of what you think you want, sometimes the activity alone is what spurs future activity.
Absolutely.
That ends up giving you what you want.
Yep.
And so it's not your state of mind. It's not your ambition level. It's not how bad you want it, because the only way that those things matter is when they translate into action. So if your state of being and your motivation and your mindset and your hopes and dreams and your wants and your confidence and all that stuff, if that doesn't turn into action, it means nothing. Action perpetuates itself. Right now, currently, okay, I have a full-time job with Empower Brokerage. I'm basically a full-time doctoral student. And I've got a lot of other little projects going on and some other things that take my time. And
you're a busy guy.
I'm building something with my son. I'm building something with my daughter. And I get hit all the time with opportunity that they want me to lead this and head that up. And there was a guy who wanted me to head up his charity out of Hawaii. And these are startup activities that don't pay, right? They're not paying positions. But I wouldn't have those. They would never, nobody would hit me up if I wasn't busy doing other things.
No, absolutely. If you were just sitting around and not showing that what your capabilities are, no one's going to see it.
Exactly. Yeah. So same thing with being single. Like, so if you're single and you got nothing going on, it's hard to meet people. But when you're not single and you're out doing stuff, now that all of a sudden you meet other people that you could be dating if you weren't dating this other person.
Right.
So it's like opportunity happens while you're exercising your abilities to, you know, take advantage of the opportunities you already have. No so question. Like you do what you can to get what you want. But if you're not doing anything, then you're going to keep getting nothing. That's the deal. So insurance agents, salespeople, anybody out there listening, if you're not doing everything that you think, if you're not doing everything that you can, period, then you're not going to perpetuate other opportunities that you actually want.
Sure.
So don't hold out thinking you're too good for something. Just go do. Go door to door. Pass out some stuff. Talk to people. Do all the things that no one else is willing to do in order to get the things that no one else has, right? So let's go for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, and quick squirrel. I did mention that I was going to talk about Bernie Sanders.
I'm curious.
Weekend at Bernie's. So, all right. So Bernie Sanders said... and he was talking about Donald Trump. It was a jab at Donald Trump. He said, "Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs." Okay, and his of course, you know, he was talking about how the protests at the Capitol were happening, and Trump didn't do anything about it. Which, whatever. I don't think that's true, but he said Nero fiddled while Rome burned, Trump golfs. And it was also, I think it was probably about the pandemic and how Trump was playing around the golf during the pandemic. In a whole year's time, the man played golf. So I thought that was interesting. Because he's quoting something that's completely false history. Nero couldn't have fiddled because Rome burned in 64 AD and the violin wasn't invented until 1550.
What about the fiddle?
Fiddle's just a version of the violin. So, 1400 years before the fiddle was even invented, they're saying that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. And actually, Nero, from a historian point of view, wasn't even in Rome when the fire broke out. He heard from messengers and rushed back to oversee relief efforts as soon as he could. So not only was he not playing the fiddle while Rome burned, he wasn't playing the other thing that he liked. It was like a harp that existed back then. In fact, he wasn't even a good ruler. He would make people listen to him play the harp all the time, mandatory, and their ears would bleed. But not only that, but he wasn't even there. And he wasn't complacent. He rushed back to help. So interesting comment by someone claiming to be intellectual.
Oh, no.
If you're going to claim to be intellectual, at least use a reference that's true, right? I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I don't care how you are politically. If you're going to make a reference, let's make it true.
I think you do care is the thing.
I don't care. I don't have a care.
I think you do.
I like Bernie. I think he's a human. And I like humans. They're all human.
On that note.
On that note. Listen, that's all we got right for you. But do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it. Everyone have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Enjoy your time.
And remember, stay busy to get more busy.
There you go.
All right. Have a good weekend.
See you next week.